Well, good morning. I'm Todd Higgins. I'm with Lincoln University in Jeff City, Missouri. And I'm the director of the Landmine Detection Research Center at Lincoln University. We established our center somewhere around 2004, 2005, and I became the director in 2007. My predecessor was not an agronomist, was not a physicist, he was a psychologist. And we were using, a lot of the research we were doing then was looking at the ANPSS-14 and how to better train soldiers on using it. And after my predecessor, Dr. Rob Hancock, retired, I continued some of the learning behavior research with the help of some postdocs that had expertise in that. And we began to see some issues that we thought were soil related. There was some work done out at New Mexico Tech that suggested that soil and soil moisture, soil types and soil moisture, had a big influence on how the ground penetrating radar actually operated. And so we started to move into the soils aspects. We knew for sure that low metal mines, they're just difficult to detect. And in today's cluttered battlefield, there's a lot of metal out there on the battlefield that can confuse a mine detector operator when they just use a simple metal detector. And the goal was to develop a new detector. The H. Stamens became the ANPSS-14 to do two things. One is to help defeat these low metal mines by detecting them more readily and to protect the soldiers in the process of that, and to move through the battlefield area more quickly so that you weren't trying to place a stick of C4 next to every nail, screw, and piece of metal out there. So the dual sensor machine, having both a metal detector and a ground penetrating radar, was decided as the best way to go to facilitate detection of these low metal mines. And as I mentioned, soil conditions can really influence the reliability of GPR-equipped detectors. And what we're trying to find out is a way for soldiers to reliably predict how reliable their GPR is before they step into a minefield. So the bottom line up front is that we believe that soldiers' lives are at risk. We want to minimize that risk or manage that risk. From our work, we did a study down at Fort Leonard Wood where we went out to the live minefield where there were actual mines with the detonating fuses removed. And we found that on different days, we got different results. Now, we had seen that in our landmine research center where we have mine lanes laid out and we have a sand pit where we use it for training. And we brought some folks up from the engineer school and we were trying to show them on the simulated mines, you know, that sometimes we get a ground penetrating radar alert off of metal, which we should not, but that's okay. It's better to put a piece of C4 against a nail than you know, ignore it as not important. But we also showed them that one of the smallest anti-personnel mines didn't show up, didn't produce, it showed up with a metal detector, but it didn't produce ground penetrating radar alerts. So in other words, under a very dry sand condition, it defeated the detector, which would mean that the soldier would then potentially assume that that was just a piece of metal clutter and move on, potentially stepping on that target. Well, we also found an interesting thing, some work down at Leonard Wood, was on one type of mine, we would have good results in the month of June, but not so good results in the month of July in detecting it. And different targets of the same type of mine located throughout that minefield would respond differently. So we might find PMA-2 in this location all the time. And another PMA-2 in this location, we might find it 50% of the time. And we couldn't predict why or when we couldn't find this target. So that's going to drive us to our next phase of research. So we're trying to find how we can predict how the GPR is going to react or how the target's going to react. Soil structure has an influence. Electroconductivity may have an influence in how it affects the dielectric constants. Moisture and electroconductivity tend to go hand in hand. But in a sandy soil, if you add moisture, you get better GPR results. In a clay soil, if you add moisture, you get worse GPR results, typically. Well, knowing that we have to come up with a military-friendly way of doing this, we're using the Unified Soil Classification System, and we're starting, in our work, is to look at the Attenberg limits, the plasticity index, the liquid limit, minus the plastic limit, and figure out, can we predict, if we know what the plasticity index is, how this detector may work. So what we did is we collected 10 soils. They were collected from within Missouri, including two from Fort Leonard Wood, and then we also collected at Fort Sill, Fort Riley, and two soils from Fort Campbell. We set those soil samples off, and the USCS was determined by a soils engineering laboratory in Columbia, Missouri. We buried the mine simulants in each of those soils at the prescribed depth, and then we counted the number of alerts per sweep when we ran the detector over that. And we had soil sensors in the ground to tell us what the soil moisture was, the electroconductivity, and the soil temperature. And we collected this data over a eight-month period. Now, this is our experimental layout. It's replicated in basically blocks. And you can see a decagon data logger here with the soil sensors that go into the soil in the tubs. The mines are placed in the center or close to the center to avoid any interference from that soil sensor. Okay, we're not going forward here. Okay, in this picture you see Dr. Sarkar taking readings and Mr. Leon Campbell, one of our student workers, running the ANPSS 14 to make those collections. And he was a trained operator. We had a deal with Leonard Wood that when we had students, we used students in our learning behaviors. I would put some of my student staff members in there so that they were trained and certified by the Army as ANPSS 14 operators. So they collect on a regular basis, maybe not every day, but they look for kind of changes in weather patterns so that we can see if we get changes in the soil. We use the NRCS suitability, GPR suitability of the soils. If you go to the NRCS website, they have a GPR suitability index. So that's what we attempted when we sat down to look for our soils. So you see we have basically a construction grade sand, a clay gravel, and then a silty sand. But we also have these CLs, which are the low plastic clays that we collected from six different sites. We weren't able to determine what that suitability index was because this one was from a military installation and the soil survey didn't extend into the installation. And we had one heavy clay in our set, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. We have two different types of training targets that provided us with some interesting results. They're both anti-personnel mines, so I'm going to show you the training mine 09, which is a little bit larger, and the next one will be the 06, which is a small, looks like basically a thick hockey puck. What you see here is based on the plasticity index of those soils, you see some variation in the number of alerts. So in this particular case, the sand had the highest number of alerts on an average basis. And as we started to get into our low compressible clays, you see how it kind of drops off here. And it is variable. When we look at for the smaller mine, same kind of thing happens until we get down here to the last of the CLs. We had some pretty good results, not really much different from the sand. And we're still seeing variations, but when we plotted it out, here is on the larger mine simulant, the 9, you can see that there is generally pretty good corresponding events here when our plasticity index is below 20. When it goes up above 25, our GPR alerts go way down. Here's pretty much average. We have a little bit of anomalies over in here, so we'll have to look at those soils a little bit closer. But when we go to the smaller mine, we see very similar results. So we kind of believe that we have some basis for looking at plasticity index as a predictor of how the GPR alerts are going to respond, at least for a low compressible, low plastic clay. I said I'd talk a little bit about the CH. The CH had a much higher PI, but it didn't respond poorly. So I'm believing that because of the fact that the CH has a much greater surface area, that it would probably keep some of that moisture more tight against the soil colloids and not make it so that it reflects or causes the limits the penetration of the GPR wavelength. So what we're trying to do is get another CH soil with a higher PI to put into our study so we can have some indication of, based on that type of soil, how does PI affect the GPR signal. So they vary greatly with soil texture and moisture content. The plasticity index is one of the soil factors which did show us those interesting results. We would like to see more consistency in our results, but again, it may be useful to us in a multi-tier screening procedure to help soldiers identify soils and soil conditions that may not be favorable to using the ground penetrating radar. We had no problems with the anti-tank mines. There's enough mass there that they seem to respond well all the time. So our future study, and we just got funded by the Leonard Wood Institute to do this, is to, I'm getting PMA-2 and VS-50 mines produced that are replica mines, because those are what we saw at Fort Leonard Wood that drove us crazy. And we're going to seed those into our research site, and we've tilled up an area. So we're going to plant those in the ground as well as in the tubs. But our first study will be to put them in there at various angles and see how the angle of the target in the ground affects the GPR reliability. And then secondly, when we move them to the tubs, we'll know if we have to orient that in specific directions, if target orientation has a factor on GPR reliability. Then we can put them in the tubs at the various angles and see how the different soils react, or the targets react when we hit them with the GPR at angles and at different moisture contents and different PIs. So that's what we are working on now. We are trying to identify and collect another CH soil from Missouri. In this particular case, the landowner may not cooperate with us, so if you know of any CH soils that are within a driving distance of Missouri that we can collect, what we do is go out with a Ryder rental truck and about 20, 24, 55 gallon drums and a scoop loader, and we dig up an area about 6 inches deep and then dig down and collect from about a 10 by 25 area and put that into our soil barrels and bring it back to the sites and put it into our 150 gallon stock water tanks. So with that, I'd take any of your questions that you might have. Yes, sir.
These are all AP mines, so are they, how deep are you burying them, like 5 centimeters?
Yeah, some are, they're in that 2 to 4 inch burial depth, so they're very shallow. So there's a number of things that influence, and one of the things we're gonna do in the new study too is we're gonna maintain part of the strip that we've dug up to plant these mines in as bare ground, and we're going to seed the other part as grass to see if we have an influence of vegetative cover on our results. Thank you.